categories, farm life was the largest, and consequently the hardest to process because of its many subcategories. The majority of the people were farmers, and lived in rural areas prior to 1920. They provided food for themselves, wood for their homes, and cotton and flax for clothing. There are many in various parts of this category. For example, the early American farmer had many chores and responsibilities to fulfill. For such reasons, everyday life on a farm was a trying and enjoyable experience. Quiltings were pastimes, and neighbors were more helpful. Of course, there were few doctors, and for that reason, there are many home remedies. Most of the people interviewed enjoyed growing up on a farm and working with animals. The first three selections deal with this idea.
Did you grow up on a farm?
Yes, I did.
What was it like?
Growing up on the farm was a very wonderful experience, and I think it's an experience that all children should have part of. When you grow up on the farm, you learn to love animals. You learn to love plants, too, as well, because you have gardens, and you learn to work in the garden and do all the things that's necessary to be done on the farm.
What were some of your chores?
Some of my chores was to feed the chickens and milk the cows. We had pigs. I sometimes fed the pigs. We had horses. That was the most fun. We loved our horses very much.
Mr. Gilson, what type of work when you were a child, did you have to do before you went to school?
Go ahead and go out and take care of the horses and the mules and the cows and the hogs and the chickens.
And the guineas.
Responsibilities when you were my age. Feeding chickens and tending to the hogs, working in the field, chopping cotton.
The majority of the people in our collection worked in agriculture. The next six selections will show you the similarities these people shared.
Was it exciting being a child in the early 1900s?
Well, I look back now and think it was very exciting. Then I thought, perhaps we've had a hard time, but now I look back over it and I think we had a good time. The children, we had to work in the field and chop cotton and corn and peanuts and things like that, potatoes. We didn't get our stuff in the fall of the year. But we had plenty to eat. We had a lot of good food. And it was, and then we had our cows on the farm and our butter. I remember that Mama used to have a butter mold, and it was round and it had a little apron on top and an apron leaf in it. When she'd mold the butter, it would make the imprint of a apron leaf.
When you were born, describe how the town looked when you grew up.
The railroad track went through there, and country roads. That's about the time of the town.
In this town or country, what kind of work did you do?
Farm work. Grow corn, peanuts, cotton, devil beans, and grow fruit peas, all that kind of stuff. We grow food, what you eat.
What kind of things did you do when you grew up?
Worked in the field, pick cotton, hold cotton.
How was the crop when you grew up, or cotton?
Mm-hmm. Looks pretty and white, and I love to pick cotton. I'd pick cows 300 pounds a day. I loved it.
What kind of things did you make out of the cotton?
We went to the gin in the gin, and we made mattress out of cotton, made pillows. That's what we made out of the cotton. We'd have the gin, and we'd make our mattress out of cotton and quilts, pad quilts with cotton.
How much corn did you usually plant?
How much corn did you usually plant? Oh, sometimes we plant 40 acres, sometimes 60. Cotton the same thing. We make 14, 15, 16 bales of cotton. That's what we made.
What job did you do in the field?
I pick cotton. I shake peanuts. I pull corn. I pull hay.
Miss Horn, would you like to tell us one of your short stories, something that happened to you during your lifetime?
Well, the most I can say that happened to me during my lifetime was my work. And I did all kinds of work. I worked in the field. I chopped cotton and hoed corn. And we'd have to go and pull the fodder, put it up on a rack. They call it a fodder rack, to let it stay there. So when we didn't gather all the crops, the potatoes and the peanuts, leave so much for the hoes. Then when all that was gone, I had to be the boy in my family, and I would go to the barn and get some of that we done housed and taken care of them until harvest time again. But it was all during the work that I would do. Everybody would be home sitting around laughing and having fun. I'm in the field chopping cotton or hoeing corn. One or the other, I had to be doing it all the time. But I was glad I was raised like that. I kind of want to believe that all that hard pressure that they put on helped me to be the woman that I am today. And I'm very proud for the work I did. I don't regret it. Don't feel bad.
Besides field work, women had many house duties. Young girls had to learn to keep a home running. The next cuts show many other duties on the farm.
What did you do for everyday life when you were growing up? Certain chores and things that the boys and girls did?
In the section that I grew up, everyone had a garden. It was the boys always took care of the gardens, vegetable gardens, and the grounds around the house. And the girls learned to be housekeepers. We had to learn to cook, to clean, to wash, to iron, to can vegetables and fruit, to make preserves, to bake bread, to sew. We made our own clothes. There were very few girls who didn't make their own dresses to graduate from junior high school. Almost everybody made their own dresses to graduate from the high school, so we learned to sew very young.
What were your responsibilities when you were my age?
When I was a child of about 10 to 12 years old, I had duties of bringing in water, because we lived in a very small town at that time, and also bringing in wood to make the fire, to wash the lamp chimneys for the oil in the lamps, and to keep them clean and to be sure that each lamp had plenty of oil before sundown.
When I was 10 years old, I was cooking 3 meals a day for 14 people. I was keeping the house. My mother, she did laundry work. And I had to learn to iron. I learned on the floor. I had to heat my irons by the fireplace chimney. And we had iron pots to cook in. We had a wood burner stove. And we lived in an old-fashioned house. We had to pump our water to wash, cook, take a bath. We took baths in tin tubs, big tin tubs. We'd drag in, drag them out. And we had outhouses. We had lamp lights.
Sir, can you describe how did they make butter 60 years ago?
60 years ago, they milked the cows and they put the milk in from a 3 to 5 gallon stone churn. And they let the milk stay in there till it soured and made what they call clabber milk.
They put a churn dasher in there with a lid on it with a hole in it that handle went up through, and they churned that butter by hand.
Well, the soap business, my mother made all our soap. She used bacon grease, the grease left from frying bacon, which we fried a lot of bacon, and save up the grease, and we'd use lye. I know it was successful, myself making it, but she made perfect soap. I think I got some out there now that my aunt made up in Sanford. They still make it, and we had a lot.
When today, like at night, we have blankets, covers, and we buy our blankets the same. Did you have to make them? Did your mother?
Yeah. They used to have what you call quiltings. All the women would come together, and they'd make a quilt for this one this week. Next week, they'd make a quilt for the other.
How were neighbors different then?
Neighbors? We didn't live as close together as we do now. And sometimes we would be a couple of miles from a neighbor. And everybody, if you were sick, people would come in and help you to take care of people. We didn't have hospitals like they do now. And the doctors, there wasn't as many doctors. And they just helped one another, the neighbors did.
How were the medicines different?
Oh, we didn't have any medicine like they have now. We had patent medicines. Mama would take sage and catnip. Catnip was the baby's medicine. And she'd make tea out of catnip for the baby, make the baby sleep. And we had sage. And we had ginger. Mama make us ginger tea, and she'd make poultices when we had pneumonia. She'd make poultice out of meal and onion and pine needle buds from pine, and that would be our medicine for pneumonia. And sometimes she'd take turpentine with tallow. And the tallow is a salve, like it's made from sheep. But, you know, the fat from a sheep, you kill the sheep or goat and make the tallow out of it. And we'd save that and mix it with turpentine and put it on your chest. Now that was another remedy that Mama that we used. And then she'd take honey, soda, mix the soda in with the honey, and we use that for a cough syrup.
Early machines in the farm community were simple, but they worked.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was a tinsmith when he came here, looking for work. Couldn't find work, so he bought a team of horses and worked for a contractor, a builder, who used to build houses. They used horse and wagon to cart away the dirt that they dug for a cellar and to bring rock and stone to the building site. That's how he made his living.
Did your mother? There used to be many sawmills around here.
Quite a few.
What did y'all do? If you wanted lumber, did you cut down trees or something and let them saw them in half? Or did they saw them down and then cut them into boards or what?
It was work both ways. Some people let the sawmill man do the all the work, and some people sold his own log and cared, let him sew it on shares.
Sir, can you describe how big was the sawmill 60 years ago, please?
The sawmill 60 years ago was very small. The first sawmill that I seen was operated by water power. They dammed the creek up and put a dam across it, and they had a water wheel there that pulled this sawmill that sawed the lumber.
Sir, can you describe how big was the cane grinding mills were 60 years ago?
The cane mills 60 years ago was very small. They had three rollers to them, and they had a long lever that they hooked a mule to that long lever. That mule went around in a circle at the pull of that mill, and they'd grind three stalks of cane at the time. They had about a 60-gallon cast iron kettle to boil that juice in to make the syrup out of.
Finally, we bring you some miscellaneous articles that speaks for themselves about the past.
Mr. Gillison, as a child, when you were a child, did you ever wish to become a man, and why?
Yeah, when I was a child, I wanted to be a man so bad until I used to put fertilizer in my shoes and make myself grow up. And
when you grew up, what kind of work did you do?
When I grew up, I worked on the farm until I was grown. And after that, we moved to Valdosta, and I went to the railroad. I went to railroad 32 years, 6 months, and 12 days.
And what'd your father do for a living?
He fished and shipped fish and farmed, and he had a right good grove when he went on.
What made you satisfied?
What made me satisfied, what really made me satisfied, back in those days when my mother came to Florida, and George and she were working, making 50 cents from 7 to 7. And she came to Florida on a visit, and she got a job making $1. And my mother wouldn't come back to my father, and we had to come to Florida. And that's what made me satisfied when we were leaving Georgia.
There used to be many springs around here in this area.
Well, there was quite a few years ago before the land was drained, so.
In this section of our research, we are studying inventions that we take for granted today but were very important in the past. People here tell how they reacted when they first encountered some of these inventions. Soon after the Wright brothers invented the airplane, one of the people that we interviewed was fortunate enough to see this famous brothers fly.
Do you remember any inventions that came out since you were young?
I saw the Wright brothers when they flew the first time from the West Coast, from Dayton, Ohio. They crossed over Columbus going toward New York. And they were carrying a bolt of silk. A bolt of silk, yard goods, you know, to make dresses out of, to show that they could transport things in an airplane. That was one of the first airplanes that they built after they learned to fly at Kitty Hawk.
Okay.
Not everyone knew the Wright brothers. This next selection tells of her first experience with sighting an airplane.
What did you think of the first airplane that you saw?
Was out in the field chopping cotton. I tell you good what I've done. Out in the field chopping cotton. And Mr. Appleseed had already told us that it was going to come some airplanes overhead, to don't get scared. And when we heard them coming, we sought our holes up and was looking, and when us see them coming, we thought it was a chair. It looked like somebody had onto the legs of a chair in the air, and us stood up and looking, and the lady was with me, she went to running and hard. I said, I ain't scared. If I could get over to it, I'd fly up there too. So I didn't think nothing of it, but tried to see what it was.
Other people were curious, and here's what they did.
What was it like when you saw your first plane?
I done what?
Saw your first airplane.
Well, we just went out and just taken that thing in till it got out of our vision, you know.
How were trains affected when the automobiles started getting along?
Oh, it was so long before the trains had any trouble with the automobiles. That is, as I grew up, it seemed that World War II was the beginning of changes in our lives, and things moved along pretty fast after World War II, and technology was beginning to accomplish things. And then radio came along. Us boys always would go up to the 10-cent store and buy enough stuff to make our own radios and have a lot of fun that way. And of course, the picture shows took some of our attention, perhaps more than we should give it, but you only paid 5 cents. And I remember when they a new theater was built in our Riverside section, and they charged 10 cents.
What did you do when you saw your first car and plane?
Well, my daddy had a car from the time I can remember. I learned to drive when I was 11 years old on a Model T.
When did you take your first car ride?
Well, now, 10 years old, my brother bought an old Model T Ford, and we used to ride in it with him to go to church.
Remember your first car ride?
I remember one of the earlier ones, back in when we had the Model T Ford, and I would stand on a running board, and I must have been about two or three years old, standing on a running board of a car.
When did you first see a car, and when did you first ride in it?
That would be about 1910, 1909, something like that. The first car I rode in was an EMF, which was made by the Studebaker people, who formerly made wagons. The EMF was the name of the car.
Did you think it was very exciting?
It was terribly exciting, because we always got up to 35, 40 miles an hour.
When was your first car ride?
First car ride in 1910 in a four-cylinder, copper-jacketed Cadillac.
Actually, Phil, when you first saw your first television show.
Television didn't excite me, because I was grown and there'd been many things that happened. I think I was really quite excited when I saw my first talking movie. That was exciting. Also, when we first got the radio in our home when I was a young girl. This television, of course, wasn't even a wild dream then.
When did you first see a TV, and when did you first get your own?
First, I saw one about 1945, something like that, but I didn't get my first one until about 1955. My first one I owned was 1955, about.
Did you think it was very exciting when you had one?
Well, it was exciting, naturally, to see something that come through the air and no connection with it.
Well, when's the first time you ever saw a TV?
When I started with TV?
When's the first time you saw one?
Well, we used to see them in the store windows when they first came out. And a crowd of people would stand in front of a store window watching the TV. And it was quite some time before I had a TV. Let's see, I must have been about 27, 28 years old before I owned a TV.
On your farm, did you have indoor plumbing?
No, we didn't. Indoor plumbing was not heard of when I was a little girl.
What kind of lights or appliances did you have in your home?
We had oil lamps and candles and wood stove that we cooked on. And our water was furnished by a pump. We pumped our water.
Did you have bathrooms in your house?
No, we didn't have running water until I was
about 14 years old.
This section of our taped interviews is on schools. People had so many different descriptions and experiences, as you will note. People talked about clothes they wore to school, equipment they used in school, the conditions of their school, and other things. I found it quite different from our schools. In our first selection, Mrs. Freeman tells of her first school.
Describe the first school you went to.
In the log cabin. And they built out a log, and the cracks were filled in with red clay. We had a bell with a steeple on it, and the rope was made out of, handmade from cotton spun. Yeah.
How far was it from your home?
About 4 or 5 miles.
How did you get there?
Walked.
Here's another person telling of where she went to school and what it was like.
Where'd you go to school?
West Scenic Park. Sick Island, we used to call it. But it's West Scenic Park now.
And what was your school like?
Well, it was just a little one-room house. One teacher and children in all kind of grades, all different grades.
Besides the descriptions of schools, here's a description of the type of clothes that were worn by students of a northern school many years ago.
Okay, let's go over to clothes that you wore when you were young compared to our clothes.
When I was in high school, I wore a big, high, stiff collar, and we had to wear coats and neckties.
Okay.
You were dressed then just like as if you were going to a fancy dinner party or something in the evening. You were dressed all the time in those days in school.
This next segment gives still another view of what the schools were like.
Sir, can you describe, did they have school buses 60 years ago, please, sir?
Back them days, there was no such a thing as a school bus. The children, they had to walk from 6 to 8 miles to school and back home. They had school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. The children had to carry their own lunch. They had no lunch rooms. And the schoolhouses was approximately around 40 foot square with a partition in the center of it, and the lower grades in one room and the higher grades in the other room, and there only was 2 teachers to the school.
But not everyone had it as easy as the segments we just heard. Here is a person who had to change towns in order to go to school.
Well, when I was in fourth grade, I went to school in Longmont, Florida. And I have to go by train. I got to come home every 2 weeks. I was living in Devonport at the time. And I had a very slim chance of going to school. That was near school to me. That was 6 miles.
Since I'm in fourth grade, I'd like to know the kind of school you attended when you were in fourth grade.
The school I attended when I was in fourth grade was the one room, had school in a church building, and the grade went from prima until you learned, if you was 18 years old and couldn't read and write, you still was in the first grade. And there was a girl, 2 sisters in my class. One was 13, one was 18, and the 3 of us was in fourth grade. And they didn't move you like they move you around now. You stayed there until you was 25 years old, until you learned. And when I went away to school, when I got a chance to go to school, I was 9 years old, but I knew I had a little education because my mother and dad, they were pretty good scholars, and they taught me. And I learned my alphabet on a little wooden block when I was 3 years old. That's when I learned my alphabet. And then when I went to Lawton school, they finally got a school there, then I could write letters back to my parents. So the teacher, I stayed in with the teacher. She thought it was marvelous. By the time I went to school, I could write letters.
Next, Mrs. Nick tells us the age he went to school and for how long.
Did you go to school? Did you first go to school?
Well, around 7. I know it was, had to be around 7 years. I had to be around 7 years old. Because back in those days, your parents had the car that wouldn't give you but 3 months, and then your parents would have to pay the other 3 months. You didn't go 9 months.
Our final two selections show us that not everyone was lucky enough to even attend school.
As I've been told, when you was a child, children left home when they were 15 years old. How old was you when you left home, and why did you leave?
I was 14 when I left home. I married at the age of 14. And March the 23rd, 1917, and the reason I left home and married, because I couldn't go to school.
The school, what was it like?
It was good because I liked to went, but I didn't have a chance to go because I had to work in the field and pick cotton and help my mama hold cotton, and I didn't have a chance to go to school like children have chance now to go to school.
In our study of oral history, we found out many ways of celebrating holidays. Although some were celebrated differently, all gave you a feeling of happiness. Unlike our holidays now, the children got fewer and less expensive gifts. Family life was important. Let us begin with some of their thoughts about Christmas with these next four selections.
How did Christmas seem?
Well, during that way back in those days, we had real Christmas. It seemed more like Christmas than it do today. Because back then it was cold, and we didn't have everything we want. What we had for Christmas, my mother would buy us a stocking, and we would have an apple and an orange and a few raisins and about 5 pecans.
At Christmas time, what were some of the things you looked forward to getting?
A doll and some fruit. Probably a pair of stockings. And that was all.
Christmas time, we looked forward to getting one orange, one apple, dried raisins, peppermint candy, and maybe if we were real good, we would get an extra toy or a baby doll, which would be one special thing that we would have as little girls. And the boys might get a scooter or a bicycle or a pair of skates if he were a good boy, but one big toy.
What I mean, we didn't have too much for Christmas. The only Christmas we got was one apple, one orange, a few nuts, some candy, raisins and such as that. There wasn't any toys to mount to anything, a few cap pistols and dolls and things like that for the girls.
What did you do on holidays, such as Christmas and Thanksgiving?
Christmas was a family day. The immediate family were together in the morning with the children and their Christmas gifts. In the afternoon, we usually went visiting if there were any close family nearby. Thanksgiving was a complete family day with mothers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, and all those get together at one house or another.
How are holidays different from back when you were young?
Well, they were more, I think, in our family, they were more religious, holidays were very sacred in most ways. And grandmother's house was a great place to go to, or mother's, or it's something of that kind. It was a sharing of the families and getting together, sharing and loving and knowing about where each other were, that was the biggest part.
For some, holidays meant the making and sharing of food, as shown in the following two segments.
How did you celebrate your holidays?
We usually had a wild turkey. And then, of course, we had our potato pie and potato custards and pumpkin custards, pumpkin pies. And that was about the only thing. We'd just have a big dinner. We didn't try to do anything. Maybe the children would get together and play games. The parents would sit around the fire and talk. Maybe our mothers would quilt, something like that.
Your holidays, Mike?
Well, our holidays were big events, such as Thanksgiving time. We would go to relatives, and part of the family would take part of the meal, and the other part would take the desserts and all the goodies that add up to a big feast.
The commitment to religion is shown in this segment on holidays.
And was this the day that reminded you of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or was this the day that you knew you was going to get plenty of eggs?
I knew all along I was going to get plenty of eggs, but I didn't care so much as that. My mother and father was Christian people, and they always taught me.
The 4th of July was important and remembered in some of our interviews. It was a community affair, as told in the final segment on holidays.
What was your favorite holiday and why?
Well, I have to say the 4th of July, it stands in my mind I have to say I'm patriotic. I love my country. And it means so much to everybody. And I just don't know. It's a great day if it could be just observed by everybody in the way that it should be honored.
4th of July, we were allowed to have fireworks at that time, so everyone had fireworks. Memorial Day was usually a town celebration where they had parades and children would go to the cemeteries and put flowers on the soldiers' graves and that sort of thing.
4th of July, we would always have a parade and someone slide down a grease pole and catch the pig. It was all sorts of contests and events on the big day of 4th of July.
This section on disasters is divided into two parts, those that are natural and those that are man-made. The natural disasters that were mentioned in our interviews were hurricanes, storms, freezes, floods, and epidemics. The man-made disasters were the wars and the depression. We will begin with the natural disasters.
Great disasters like floods and fires.
We had a big tornado in Gainesville, Georgia in 1926 that practically blew the town away.
We'll go to this. Have you ever been in a disaster like a flood or a fire or an accident?
1913 in Columbus was the first time I saw anybody die. There were 99 lives lost in the big flood there. And my father helped haul people out in the old Cadillac out of what they called the bottoms out onto the hilltop where we lived. And we brought people out and put them in the schoolhouse. We didn't have any school then because of that. The people lived in the schoolhouse until the flood subsided. And then in 1926, we were in the big hurricane in Miami where there were 2,800 people.
Were there any great disasters?
They had flood. Okeechobee Lake flooded over, and there was lots and lots of people that were drowned. And of course, the war came along at that time, too.
Has there ever been many great freezes around in this area?
Yes, there's been some severe freezes.
from time to time.
When were like the phrases at?
When were that?
We had a heavy freeze in 34. Now I had another heavy freeze in 57. I had some minor freezes during the meantime.
Were there any major epidemics when you were growing up?
Yes, after the First World War, there was an epidemic of influenza.
Were any people in your family affected by this?
Only slightly, not serious.
What are some of the diseases that we don't really worry about now, but that were might have been dreaded when you were young?
Any of the so-called children's diseases, such as whooping cough, chicken pox, measles, diphtheria, meningitis, scarlet fever, mumps, all of these things were very serious at that time. And some families were quarantined for months in a winter, through a winter with one after another. And now we don't have them.
Our last three selections deal with the man-made disasters, the Depression and the war.
Describe hard times and how it affected your family.
Well, the Depression was pretty rough. I had three children at the time the Depression was at its worst. And we rented a piece of ground and grew our vegetables, and we made it. I could sew and do most anything that, or do a lot of things that, that some women couldn't do, and I just thank God for the talent that I was able to use. And my children didn't suffer for clothing, and I stayed busy, and that helped us out on a lot of these things. I canned a lot, and we just made it.
How were things when the Depression came?
Hmm?
How were things during the Depression?
How things was doing in Depression?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How things was doing you were kidding? The thing was tough, baby. The thing was real tough. But I was so tough, it didn't worry me. Because we may raise what we had to eat principally. Everything like our meat and bread, we raised that. Plenty of syrup, peas, corn, cow's milk, raise my coffee. You may not believe it because you ain't even seen no coffee grow. But we grow coffee in our country, right up there in Midway.
Well, were there any great disasters when you were young?
Well, yes. When I was young, I went through World War I and World War II, and you couldn't call any disaster equal to that.
Through the years, we have had many things about early times in American history, but one of the most important areas is leisure time. A study of the past would not be complete without a view of what people did for pleasure when they didn't work. Many things have stayed the same, such as fishing, dancing, swimming, picnics, hopscotch, and tag. But there are differences in both what they did for fun and how they did it. People made their own fun and tell of it. These people are quick to point out the differences in fun today, because now fun is mostly made for us.
What kind of recreation did you have?
Oh, we played ball and we fished. And we had good walk on steps and jump ropes and do a lot of things to do now, except where you buy your rope now. We'd make our steps where you buy them now. And we had one game that we liked to play. We'd go down in the woods, and it was called a flying game. And we'd cut the tree down and split a hole in it and make a post out of another tree and slip it down on that
and we'd start going around. The faster we'd go, and then we'd go up and down, one get on one end of it, one on the other. We call that our flyingy. That was a lot of fun. We always had flyingy, and we'd make swings out of grapevines. We'd get down in the woods and swing from one tree to the other.
What did you do for fun, like when you were here, when you moved here, and when you were a child?
When I was a child?
But we're both.
Well, I can remember back when I was a child. One thing that I noticed with my grandchildren, they have ready-made toys that cost a fortune, and they want ready-made programs, evidently. You have to go to a meeting, you know, after school. You have to have a swimming pool to go to. You have to belong to the Girl Scouts and the, all sort of things. We didn't have any of those things when I was a child. There was no such thing as a swimming pool anywhere. But we had a swimming pool about 6 miles from town. We used to go jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was close to a watermelon patch. And you could always get a watermelon and put in the spring with us, and when we got through with our swim, where we had a nice cold watermelon to eat, and then peanuts grew not far away, and we could pull up peanuts and eat those. But nowadays, children have everything ready-made and programs, and I don't know whether they quite have as good time as we did making our own fun. We didn't have many toys. We used to make up our own games. No grown people went with us to show us how to play. We made up our own rules. I liked it the way it was then.
These next segments tell of games children play and how they made their own equipment.
Okay, did you ever play softball or baseball or something like that?
Oh, yeah, we played ball during the recess. We went to school kind of early. And the girls played on one side of the school, and the boys on the other. They wanted them to play together.
What did you use for equipment, for bats, and how'd you make a ball?
Oh, we made our balls.
What'd you use, or how did you?
Well, we'd take old wool socks and ravel them up, and boy, when you hit that ball, it went somewhere.
What did you use for bats?
Well, we made our bats.
Out of what?
Out of a piece of wood. And sometimes they'd be about this wide, and then they was had a handle on them, you know, where you could get two hands there. And boy, could you ever knock a ball.
Here are some interviews that we made on Family Fun.
What did you do for fun that people did not do today?
Oh, we had candy pulls, lots of fun, popcorn over the open fire, and many times we would play family games, hide the thimble. We would also have other family games such as blindfold, and many of our neighbors would come and participate in the game.
What did y'all do for fun, like in the afternoons when you were a child? You know, in the evening.
It's been so long ago, I can't remember. No, we what children do today, because of course we didn't have television. But when I was a child, we didn't even have radio.
You didn't? Well, what kind of games did you play? Do you remember?
Well, in our family, we played all kinds of card games and dominoes and, my father taught us chess.
Sir, can you describe it?
The recreation back when I was a kid, the only recreation that we had at school, we played ball. When we was out at recess and at lunch hour, we played ball. On the weekends, when we had time off out of the fields, we played ball, marble, and all kinds of games. On Sunday, us boys all played off in the woods, playing all kinds of games and tricks and everything. We had no recreation, only what we had around home. Our parents didn't let us run all over the country. And when we asked to go visit a neighbor, we had to be back home before sundown.
What kind of game did you play as a young child?
We played Little Sally Walker.
And we played, we played dropping handkerchiefs. And what else we played? It's been so long. And we played handkerchiefs, walking and talking. And let me see now, what else? I must have a chick. A bunch of children would stand behind one child that would be taller than the other. And these were her chickens. And the buzzard would come down, the hawk would come down, fly down, and to get her chick. And this mother would protect her chick. The hawk would fly around here, and she'd get in front. He'd fly over here, she'd get over there. And let me see now, what other game? That's all I remember right now.
What did you do for fun after school?
Well, for fun, when I first got home from school, when we had to do our little homework, and then after we did our homework for our fun, we went out to a marble and played hopscotch and played a little game called London Bridge is Falling Down and many other little games.
What did you do on Saturday?
On Saturday, we swept the yard, we mopped the kitchen, and we swept off the porch. Sometimes we would have to wash our socks and our little wearing clothes like that, and then after we get through work, and we go back out in the yard and we play. Sometimes we play hide and go see and baseball, just a little game like that.
In this segment, it tells us that the family did not always do things by itself, but also with their friends, neighbors, and church.
What did you do for entertainment besides the radio?
We had always had group entertainment. We had school dances, we had church suppers and parties, we had sleigh rides, skiing parties, skating parties, house parties from house to house. Everything was groups. We had no single dating until after we were 17 or 18 years old.
When you were young, did you have any games like hide and seek, state ball?
Yes, the regular children's games that they play today, they still play then. One thing we did not have were all the toys to amuse us that the children have now. We used to make our own toys or make our own fun, whereas now they go and buy toys. Just made up something and played with it.
When radio began and record players were first introduced, they provided a new era in leisure time.
Did you have radio when you were growing up?
When I was a teenager, I had a high school boy, friends that were in our high school class that made a crystal set for me. So this radio we had, one set of earphones for the whole family.
It didn't have any speakers?
No, speakers didn't come out for quite some time after that.
What were some of the main things that were on the radio when you were listening to it?
At first, there wasn't anything but sports and news. We had, and they were operated by a battery, like the battery in a car. It had to be charged before each time you used it.
They were that large, they weren't like any normal batteries that we have now, just the small type?
No, they were a regular car battery, just the same as we have in the car now. It wasn't for a couple of years before they started having what they called artists on, that they'd have singers, and then they began to have plays. They had, for instance, Amos and Andy and Fibber McGee and a few more of those things. And then the soap opera started very early.
Dancing has also been a part of leisure time. Yeah.
Do you like music?
Yes.
What music was popular when you were little?
Well, we call them graphophones at that time. You'd wind them up, and then put your record on, and then put your needle on.
Dancing has always been a part of leisure time.
What do you think of how people dance today?
How people dance today?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the dance they do these days, it ain't nothing what we did in our day.
You name some dances y'all did?
Yes, ma'am. Kate Walk was one. Holding the mule was another. Rang Tang was another.
What type of music was popular? You can name a tune or hum it. Well, I'll hum a little bit of the Wabash Cannonball.
Spiritual music has also been popular.
Do you know any popular songs that you had back then?
No, I don't know. I never was much to sing other old songs, you know. I sang sacred songs, tried to.
Can you hum one for us? Or just a part of it?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Was that a real popular song?
That was a good sacred song.
American Leisure Time Ideas Travel. This next segment tells about how American music was heard in Germany.
What were the dances like back then?
Oh, we had just like here. We had the shimmy and foxtrot. I mean, to my time, you know, when I had them dancing, I still do dancing. It was very interesting because we had all the big American bands. You would not recall the names. Did you ever hear about Paul Whiteman? Now, you see, this is long, long before your time. And I was a youngster then, or a teenager. And all the big American bands came over to Germany.
This next segment shows us that you did not have to have money to have fun.
Well, were there any circuses that came into town?
Yeah. We never had too much money to go to the circuses, but my grandfather always wanted to go over and watch them unload from the trains and set up the tents and all. We got as much pleasure out of that as you probably would of attending the circus.
Some people were practical in using their leisure time. Others never had leisure time.
Did you have any collections or hobbies?
Yes, we had hobbies. I loved to grow flowers, and I'd always set me a hen with little chickens. Yep, I'd have 12 or 15 eggs and raise my little chickens. And I had my flowers, I'd crochet, knit, card, spin yarn, and one summer I remember spun and card, spin. Not tough near bedspread.
When you were a child, today we have different types of things to pass the time of day. What did you do to pass the time of day?
Work.
All day?
All day.
Mr. Gillison, in your free time, what did you do?
Didn't ever have free time. Had to work all the time.
Today we have Disney World and different types of amusements. What'd you do?
We didn't have nothing like that.
Did you?
We just had to work.